So Joby, based upon that research you've done, thanks, mm-hmm. okay, or whatever, we really don't have any agreement that we can go back to really
of how that
solidify
that,
about
yeah.
how, yeah.
You know, and even at this point, I mean, I don't know what the appropriate amount to budget for, but looking at the fact that we will have a new county attorney that may have a different idea on how that space is going to look, and then we also, if choose to fund the space needs study, I would recommend waiting until that is performed before we move forward with any kind of remodel project. So, I mean, I don't think this estimate's going to get drastically reduced unless you eliminate private restrooms, and even then it's still going to be pretty...
Is there a specific amount for the private restrooms?
No, it's not broke down to that level. This is just based off of... We spent some dollars to do some schematic design so we could get a cost estimate. At this point, we've had, you know, those are out of this current fiscal year. We've spent about, it was right around $4,800 is what that total cost was going to be for schematic design. We've spent just about half, just a hair over half of that at this point. So we could have another redraw of the space with another cost estimate based off of what the new county attorney may or may not want to change what's drawn up right now.
I think waiting is a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so you're thinking this wouldn't be in the fiscal year 21 budget? Or
if I think that if we wait, which I recommend we wait until, if we're going to spend the money to have a space needs study performed, I say we hold off on this project until after that is done, which may push the whole project into a different fiscal year, or at least a large portion of it. So,
how soon do you anticipate having that space? Are you going to do it right at the beginning of the fiscal
year? I would
year?
Say we get started right out of the gate. Because we need to do an RFP to to get somebody hired to perform it. That's going to take some time, so I would say we would start that space needs study as soon as we get into the next fiscal year.
The last time that we met with everybody over there, the judicial personnel and the Fulton County Attorney's Office, I remember asking, is everybody okay currently with the way things are, and can you kind of live with that for a while? And everybody said, yeah, we're all okay. So I don't think that delaying it should be a major problem for anybody operationally. I haven't gone and counted offices and said, yeah, three people stacked in an office someplace, but I don't see it when I go over there.
What was the judicial changes? I mean, they're minimal.
They're minimal. Yeah, I mean, the biggest one is, I mean, it would be even outside of what I would say kind of a required request was the changing of the jury room with the judge's chambers. And a lot of that, some of it's kind of just makes sense based off of how the jury traffic comes out of that courtroom to get to the jury room versus, you know, it would be more of a straight shot right into what is existing is the judge's chambers where they come out of that courtroom. So, I mean, it's, but outside of the private entry, I mean, that's kind of almost in the needs category versus a want. So that's, you know, included in that court office's portion of this cost estimate breakdown.
Should we leave it in 21 just knowing all of that? Because maybe something would happen in 21?
Maybe. I mean, you kind of look at the time, you know, if you...
I don't care much, but...
Yeah. I'm just looking at the realistic of actual dollars getting spent on a remodel in FY21, and I would say it's unrealistic.
Okay.
Because, I mean...
Kind
of bid that out. You know, if you do an RFP to do a space needs study, it's going to take time to have that space needs study performed. And then even if you come up with a finalized plan, then you've got to do an RFP to get some actual architectural and engineering services for the remodel done. That's going to, you know, it just, things take time. So I think that realistically having, you know, a big expense for the actual county attorney's remodel happening in FY21, I just don't see it's realistically going to happen.
Okay, so the space needs study is elsewhere. You really don't need money here for the space needs study to include the county attorney's space.
Yeah, because I mean,
what might you need to get ready to get an RFP out, though? Let's say you RFP'd it in 21.
For like the...
I'm sorry, can I just ask a clarification?
Sure.
And your question. So yeah. The space needs study covers everything.
Correct.
Are you saying it covers everything but the county attorney?
No, I'm saying we could probably get the county attorney's space included in the space needs study without putting any money in here.
Oh, any additional money. Right.
That's
so it's already allocated. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could, if the space needs study happened, we got to the point where, okay, we're ready to move forward with the county attorney remodel, and we wanted to have some money in there if we, so like, let's say we get to doing engineering and design of the, is that what you're asking, Linda?
Yeah.
Do we budget for that? Well,
yeah.
If we wanted to, we have a professional fee estimate that's listed right here in this cost estimate for the county attorney remodel at $45,203.
She always going to say 50.
Yeah.
I should have said it first.
Yeah.
That
I would say if we put 50,000 is probably a good number to use.
To take the 630 down to 50.
And that would be for if we have any plans drop. I want to make sure I'm clear because I'm kind of going back to kind of an earlier discussion we had of just is kind of putting the cart before the horse or kind of what we're doing is we want to have that space needs study. New county attorney coming in may have some different vision on it, so we want to get their input. And just overall in general, we've got a huge issue of space needed.
Correct.
So I'm just trying to figure out even putting the 50,000 in, what that would do versus holding it off all till fiscal year 2022. I'm just seeking some clarification on that.
The question would be, how likely are we to be putting it out in 21?
Just spring of 21, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we could realistically get to a point where we're spending architectural and engineering services for that specific remodel project in FY21. Where if we budgeted 50,000, that would cover that. But to actually get to a point where we're spending it out, taking bids to actually have a construction, of course, I don't foresee us being at that point. And generally with the architectural and engineering services, that will provide a cost estimate as well for that specific project based off of more accurate things they find. Because once you get into paying for the engineering services, that's when they come in and they'll know more realistically what it's going to do.
So that would be in the space needs study. You think there's enough money to?
Yeah, I'm wondering if we're.
Yeah, now if we're rolling it all together, do you think we need to up the space needs study at all?
No, the space needs study was when I got that estimate for the space needs study. That included the county attorney's area in with that. So I'm just saying that if we got to the 50,000, if you budgeted that for the county attorney remodel, would include a cost estimate just for that project.
So understand also, I just want to point out that the way that I put these numbers in here was I put transfers from the general fund to the capital project fund and from county attorney to capital project fund. County attorney special law enforcement or fines recovery in assigned funds in the general fund there is $450,000 that is assigned for this project for Justice Center remodel, not necessarily just this project but Justice Center remodel. So So in your assigned funds in the general fund, basically what's going to happen is we will transfer $315,000. We'll use $50,000 of that. And my point is, you don't have to make the determination now that you need money in there, because it's going to be a transfer when it happens, and we can amend the budget to transfer the money and spend the money.
So next year. Zero this out.
It's coming from assigned funds, basically.
Okay, so we're saving zeroing this out.
Yeah.
So just on that, does that go back to our conversation we were having, what was it, Friday, Thursday, whichever day, on the amount of money that the county attorney's office would put towards the whole project?
Somewhat. That's where the original half and half came from. Okay. The original $315,000 transfer came from the fact that at one point in time, half of the dollars were supposedly coming from that.
So we're just not sure minute. Well, because I looked at back at all of December 2018 minutes and didn't see any specific. I'm just want to make sure that we're just all
right
clear on it. So there is money there, and it was designated at some point somewhere, but maybe it was earlier.
So in the general fund, yeah.
That'll be also, I think, going back to the county attorney. And
fine collection, that's a conversation that when you have a new county attorney, you're going to want to have.
Okay, so we're going to take this down to zero, but there is money. There is $50,000 in fine recovery that could be transferred over.
No, I'm sorry.
General
dollars.
Okay.
Because I think the fine recovery portion, you're going to have to determine
what percent
or what the county attorney is willing to do.
Gotcha.
County attorney is willing to do.
I got what you're saying.
They have $294,000 right now in that fund. But my understanding was that they wanted to, there might be other things that they want to fund out of that. So what I'm saying is, the money isn't new money.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Putting it away. So, moving on to, are we ready to move on then? We're all okay with zero on the Justice Center remodel. Moving on, equipment and machinery, there's nothing there, but where's the match for the generator grant?
In his budget.
Facilities.
I think this is
was from the
when we put a generator
Okay. Okay. Got it.
I have to research process basically spending the rest of the bonded money / grant money. So that is what I'm showing there is what could be what the balance left is. There's no new dollars there either. That's just carrying forward bonded money. The next one, capital improvements, this is for conversation purposes. What we've been doing is taking 33%, putting it into a capital improvement, 33% of 50% into some set aside assigned dollars. So the board has assigned them for capital improvements. If we want to spend this money, I have to show it to spend it, okay? So it's part of the assigned dollars also. It's not new dollars for capital improvements. And what happens is we don't spend it out of this line item. We move it into whatever line it's spent on, the Justice Center, or what you just talked about, this one, I think, HSC. I think we use some dollars for HSC. HSC generator. We took $179,000 and put towards the generator most times. That's basically the $234,000 is basically what's in there available to put toward a project.
So with $179,000 of this that we've already gone ahead and put elsewhere in the budget for the generator.
2 years ago.
Okay. So right now the 234 is assigned, but it's not been then subsequently reassigned to any particular capital improvements project.
Correct.
Okay. So in looking at the capital improvements projects, just going back, we've got $132,000 in conservation that'll pay for that one block or whatever of trail to the heart of Iowa that is in Slater. Isn't that where it is? Yeah, in Slater. We have promised conservation $60,000 still. This would be go out of fiscal year 20, not 21. That would be for them to do a cabin plan, right? We said, hey, we'd go up to $60,000 there. So as I look through the other capital projects about what might be available for us to spend the CIP money on, right, I come back to the on page, the capital project one, is it number the same way, administration building generator capacity increase, and we're hoping maybe best case scenario will end up at 87,000 to 86,000. Medium case scenario would be about 149,000, right? Okay. So 149,000 would also be money that could be used out of here. Then we wouldn't use the 132 or send 132 to the Slater project. But I'm trying to figure out where exactly we might assign some of this $234,000. I'm just throwing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And given that the $60,000 we promised out of this year. But would the $234,000 be reduced by the $60,000? Okay. So then right away we're back to $174,256. That's what we have here out of this. Well, we've already saved up for capital projects.
Let me just say something, the cabin study.
Uh-huh.
Probably need to have more discussion about that. Mike was a little frustrated. He said, you know, we have all that information I think that people would want. And I said, well, you know, maybe you've got it. And the problem is that you haven't communicated some of it. And we'd be more comfortable with proceeding on cabins if some of that were communicated. So I encouraged him to go back and look at the information he has on hand. I kind of said that I would get him questions after budget was done on what I had in my mind as questions about cabins, and I would ask the other supervisors to do the same, that we would make a list, because he wants to know that he's answered all the questions and isn't coming, having to come back with more and more and more.
Okay.
Long story short, I'm saying, I don't, just to say it now,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if the $60,000 will be needed if we do a good job of saying, here are the things that we wonder about, or the things that if there were a study we would want included, and just since I've already got this information, then okay, get it back to us.
Compile it.
Compile it and get it to us. And I don't know, but I just thought it might be a good time to update both of you on those discussions.
Okay. Feedback quickly on this is numbers. I would want to see updated numbers because I've seen him from 2 years ago, what he's saying. Okay. And then the other question is, how would that address the other issue that, Linda, even you brought up about, let's see a game plan here?
Well, I think that's something that Mike and the Conservation Board could do if they knew that we wanted that.
All right. So that'd just go in our list of wants, needs, questions.
Sure.
Yeah. I think the updated numbers and I don't know what he has or whatever, but how they make some of their determinations as to where they want it to put.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about
comparables in other counties.
Yeah, and just the number and which ones do you prioritize first? And we had the conversation of Dakin's Lake or
the Hickory Park one.
How they came up with mm-hmm. with that? What's the data that supports what they're suggesting?
Mm-hmm. And if they can't do that, and then they can't do that in-house, answer the questions in-house, then I think it's appropriate to put it out for a study. But I'm just going back to looking at that supposed study that we got given to us about bonding for conservation, and that wasn't a rigorous study. That was a PRP.
Okay.
And I wanted to spend a lot of money on PRP as opposed to a rigorous study.
Okay. So no 60,000 in the fiscal year re-estimate on this line anyway.
Maybe.
It's a maybe.
It's in conservation budget right now.
Is it?
Okay. Well, that's what I kind of thought. I was looking through.
But that's what we're doing. That would reduce a little bit. It would help bring down their.
Yeah. We can do it if we need to.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So now back to, let's go with one. Okay. So then we're back to 234,000.
Is that something we need to do right now is figure out where we're assigning this?
No.
It's an assigned fund.
It's already an assigned
okay,
fund.
Okay. But what are we figuring?
So I was just headed into, I thought we were going to have general budget discussion, but it's no, we can move ahead. Let's move ahead. Okay.
For the last page 52, we have grant operating transfers, basically whether or not that they come out of countywide. So the operating transfers are listed there as to how we're we will be transferring money. What your resolution will say to transfer money. Okay?
Who's the 161?
Okay, so that's the 161.7 we were talking about is the over and above the bonded debt at this point in time for the projections for TIF.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm showing it as a transfer to urban renewal in which you will make a determination how to spend.
Okay. Yeah, that was right. Okay.
Meaning to zero that out so that it's a transfer. It's the mechanism to
do it. Percent of the percent of the percent.
Well, no, this is actually the remaining, 50% that you guys actually, that you actually are pulling down from there.
Got it. That we already kind of, we promised, we approved this project.
This will be something that she will be bringing, Leanne will be bringing forward for you to approve projects based on.
Let's move on. I may have to come back to you and have a little more visual, but it's good. Let's move on.
Okay. Where are you going to go?
Well, we've got several things we're still looking at. So let's just have a discussion about the things we still need to decide. We've got, is that where we want to go right now? We've got the attorney's position. We've got the trucks here. Well, we decided on the trucks. We'll still have on countywide the housing. Or did we take that out?
No,
we didn't.
We
still got the housing.
Yep.
So that's
the economic development.
The economic development.
Yep.
We've got a position in community services. We've got a position in conservation. I don't know if we talked about the operating budget and conservation, if we have about any potential decreases there. We've got set that out. That might be my list.
The auditor position.
Sorry. Apologies to the auditor staff.
Well, did you want to talk about possible cuts to conservation, or you want to go move to the employees?
Are there any possible cuts to conservation? We've looked at that would get us through the operating, and then we kind of get back to just the employees.
Right. Thanks for hanging out.
I think we're done. Thank you. Appreciate your flexibility on the truck.
Yeah, no problem.
And all your work on these. Okay. Do we want to start with conservation?
I think that would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And my thought was just, once again, can they get one more year out of that truck that they want to replace?
Oh, conservation?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they do have money budgeted for repairs. It was only budgeted $1,000. And it sounded like from Ryan, yeah, it's costing some money, but still he's only thinking about spending $1,000 on it. So that was what popped to my mind. I mean, they are asking for less county dollars, I mean, tax dollars, than before, because they are pulling out of conservation reserves for a couple of these things.
They're really hitting reserve.
Yeah, so it was just the one truck I was wondering if it could hang on one more year. But I'm not a mechanic.
I mean, just because they're not here, so I don't recall our conversation on there. How many trucks do they have, and are they on? Are they on similar, like a 10-year rotation? I know they do a little bit more rougher terrain, I think he was saying, at times, so it may not last as long. I just
looking at my notes now.
I don't recall.
Conversation.
It
was a long time ago.
It's a
2006. Ooh. So it's older.
And they were going to move their 2013 to replace the 2006.
That's right.
That's by a new for the Rangers. So, I mean, you're talking a 14-year-old.
Right. No, that's all right. Right. Yeah. I think I had the 2013 stuck in my mind.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's 2006 GMC. I remember when I got that.
Okay, given that, it does sound like it may really be
like conservation alone.
Yep.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
Are we at 145 on the sheriff?
I was going to move to the sheriff.
Okay.
And did the sheriff contact either of you?
No.
Okay, I suggested if he wanted to that he do that, but he did contact me. He came over with Captain Lenny and Lieutenant Ellis. No, Connie. Pardon me. To talk about, they thought it should only be 135 because that's what they had budgeted. If they used their budget figure for operating last year and you did the difference, it would have only been 135. I simply said, well, I'm not sure if I agree in using that unless you're showing increase, giving justification for increases, because that's a figure from a year ago, whereas the readjusted figure on which we're getting the 145 difference is a brand new figure with more information now. And I just kind of got the response of, oh, well, if you're looking at the budget, you're looking at the readjusted rather than the budget, I'll keep that in mind next year.
Well,
what was said to me.
they questioned my math also, and I merely said that from my conversation or when we were talking about that in here, none of you were actually saying, well, they did this and they did this. You were saying, this is where I think they can cut. So, so your number, 145, was not based on any specific, the increase is this amount of money. It was based on what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, okay. So we'll just leave it at that and we'll wait and see if I get the dollar.
The sheriff did also ask me, if we appropriated or if we approved the positions, would all that money have to stay in salaries? And I said, explain what you mean. And it was, you approved three deputies for me. Could I take one and turn it into operating money? And I said, I don't know. Kind of like that.
First of all, that's rural fund, and there's no rural fund operating money.
Well, I wanted to just say no, but I decided I just looked down and said, oh, no, to let you know. But,
Then we still would have voted to have it for at least down in the road. He could then come back and still want to fill that.
Yeah,
and then where does that money come from?
I'm just saying that's what...
Thank you for telling us.
That was the conversation. And we talked about not micromanaging and all of those good things. We had a good conversation. I did not get any justification of, well, we need blank for blank, whatever. Well, we've already taken the drone out. We've already taken the blank out. Okay. That's your decision. then. I can't see, I didn't hear anything that made me, think, oh, that's too much. I really did not. It was just based on, well, if you look at our budget number rather than our re-estimated number for 20, and as I said, I explained why I thought it was best to look at a re-estimated number because it was a fresher number based on more knowledge of what how the expenses were actually going.
I wasn't here. Was the, and I know Lisa touched on it, the 145, was it attached to a percentage?
No.
No.
It was just took them back to an operating budget that would be their readjusted number for 20.
Okay.
So that's, and we vary widely. You got 250, not 300 on a good day.
Well,
I had 179 and was counting and hadn't gotten all the way through stuff. So
when you put up right away 38,000, that's just miscellaneous and not clear. To me, that's kind of a target of wants, not needs.
Yes.
That's just kind
that's
of my opinion on that. And when I asked them about it, they really couldn't give more definitive information to us on that. So, yeah.
Well, the fact that he didn't come to talk to either one of you, I found kind of offended.
When did he talk with you, Linda?
Oh, day after I called him.
So it would have been last week.
Yeah, it was last week.
Was it Friday?
Thursday.
Oh, because I didn't say if it was Friday. I mean, then we had the storm. You would have been, yeah, it would have been for appetite, so.
No,
but there was no messages on my phone, no email, no nothing to set up a time to meet.
Yeah, well, I kind of tried to make it known that, okay, I would tell you, but I don't think he thought I was going to be his advocate on changing it. I guess I feel like all the other budgets we've really looked at, what's the trend? What's the 3-year average? What's the justification? You know, what is it that's different next year? And we didn't get that. We got some real long lists of equipment and hammers and things like that. But we didn't get justification for increase.
I'm good with 145.
I'm fine with it, too.
Okay.
I mean, the fact that he hasn't reached out to either one of us.
Right.
Might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I think the next thing is the deputy request. And I sent everybody, I think, a spreadsheet that I worked out over the weekend. I looked at what Ken Ellis had sent, and I couldn't come up to her 2,032 hours.
I think where she's coming with that. So on a 6-3 schedule, we typically... they're working about 1,994 hours when they're on a 6-3.
They're working what?
1,994 hours they're scheduled for in a 6-3 rotation. We use that for the telecommunicators, and if I remember right, that's the number we used for the detention officers. They have 80 hours of personal days, and then they have 6 days in their contract. They have 6 additional days of training. So if you take the 1994 plus the 6 days of training, you get close to her 2032.
Okay.
Not everybody's scheduled for all that because they're on 6, off 3. I mean, it depends. Each deputy is a little different. But when we go into bargaining, we do negotiate those additional training days to get them close to the 2,080 normal hours for their salary.
Mm-hmm.
So
the 2,080 that we would normally assume,
they aren't quite there.
They're at 2,034.
I come up with about 2,042 if you add those. But those training days are outside of their normal 6-3 schedule. So those are separate days that are we negotiate. They will not only work a 6-3 schedule, but we will also schedule them for 6 training days per fiscal year to get them close to that 2,080.
Okay. So they don't train on shift days.
So my question, I did take into consideration all the information that Lieutenant Ellis. Mm-hmm. I don't typically those training days. I don't know if those are the 6 days that are negotiated, or if those are additional above and beyond the 6 that they send them out.
I took them off. I used them to deduct from the available hours.
Yep.
So that gives them. Yeah. You're saying they may be actually some of those 3 days off, and they're getting paid overtime for them, but.
Well, they don't get overtime. They're additional days. We negotiate their scheduled days. So outside of the 6-3 normal schedule that they have, the sheriff also schedules them for 6 training days to get them, because they're getting paid a biweekly salary based on 2,080 hours. And
that's the difference between 2032 or 2000.
And the 1994. Yeah, that's where I come up with
okay.
that. But what I'm looking at, too, the special assignments, I typically don't calculate those in when we're looking at a staffing relief factor type thing, just because those are at the discretion of the department. They're not leaves that we get that the employees are off. They're reassigning them to different places.
Right. That's like doing those community education things or doing...
Yeah, same with Interpol.
So then we would take the specials out of Linda's spreadsheet.
Yeah, and I've never figured the unfilled shifts due to turnover, too. I mean, they don't have that split out. So that's...
I took it out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't... The military leave, I would leave that in there. The paid military leave. The other thing that might not be attributed to that, I pulled some numbers from... I ran some stuff from payroll because I wasn't quite coming up with... If I took all this up, the relief factor was more like 1.4. I still think it's more like 1.2. They did have some more extensive leaves back in those 2014 to 16. I did see the trend. It's really hard to figure the average per employee per calendar year. I came up with more like 280 to 300 hours versus the
32.
Yeah, like about 280 hours off if you figure 6 vacation comp off.
Well, these are huge numbers.
Yeah.
This is over 2 weeks sick leave per person.
Well, what throws us off is the 12-week paternity leave.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of leave.
There's a lot of leave.
But when I run, just from payroll, I run comp, sick, vacation, and all I did was I took the rural fund, and I ran those numbers, and I got a total. And then I divided it by the number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more than 17 because if I take the total used per year, that would include, there might be more than 18 people paid out of the rural fund because we had some retirements, we had some job changes, different things like that. So that's how I got the average. It's not perfect. It's just a quick glance for me to see where their figures are different than this. I thought her numbers were very high. I thought the 9,900 hours per year of off time, we're paying those, but they're not actually filling the shifts. It's kind of high. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So
I can with what I did, which is using her numbers,
mm-hmm.
I can come up with one deputy. I can come up with one deputy and a handful of hours that don't get covered.
39, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I get the 26,280 is what's needed and 26,231 if we add one FTE. See?
And when I went back and removed special assignments and different things like that, I came up with about 16 to cover 3 per shift, if that makes sense.
16 deputies, as opposed to the 17 they have.
But they are, they're going, they've got some different factors figured in. They've got
And with shifts, you can't get a perfect schedule where you're not sometimes overlapping or wasting some hours because you put employees just from when we used to do our staffing stuff for residential facilities. You can be putting employees through some real gyrations to use every hour.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm willing to say a little leeway. I think there's already a little leeway in some of those numbers, but I'm willing to say.
And I think the training, I haven't had a chance, but just the school and training, that could be the ILEA. We should figure in those 13 weeks.
Oh, what did she say?
These are outside of basic and field training, so this would be school slash training. That could be your.
I don't know what she's doing in there. And these now, this is also stuff she said she did 2 years ago and did an update, but she looked at some more recent numbers. So.
And I just looked at vacation, sick, comp. Personal days may be a little high because we do pay them out. I just looked at leave time used based on what was charged in the payroll. And we have had some turnover, so it's not perfect. But what I did, too, with, I did come up based on Leanna's numbers. I came up with about a little over 18 deputies, so the one would pretty much cover
it. One would cover it. So going through all those numbers, we're kind of at the same place.
Yeah.
So what's everybody think about one deputy?
Now, where he assigns that deputy, I don't know.
Will they
put it
on
the shift? No, it has to be road, but which shift?
Oh.
I mean, that's at the sheriff's discretion. I don't know where they put it. Would they put it on the day shift to do more outreach, or would they put it on the... Would it have them... Would they have it scheduled 3 per shift? I don't know.
For me, part of 1 versus 2, okay, because thank you, Linda, by the way, for the number crunching, and Alyssa, thank you, too. I'm looking at some of these.
Longer than mine did.
Okay. I couldn't run this stuff over the weekend. I had to wait till I got here because I didn't have access to them.
Sure, well,
you.
Thank you.
And they have some better numbers. They would. They would be... Yeah.
And I did think about, it's not like people will always be able to be fit right into every hour, like you said, okay? So I came up with the one leaves them 39 hours short, okay, based on the, and then, but two, then certainly I even went ahead and I did my calculations based on two, and one of them being the administrative sergeant, all right? So I then ran the dollar numbers. And I, you know, so as far as need goes, all right, and 1 versus 2, of course, the big thing is if we equip with a car also and equip everybody. So, you know, the difference is obviously $122,000 if there's no, you know, here just in the cars themselves. So one deputy seems more comfortable. That's where I'm really headed to your question, all right, is one deputy, if in fact we follow through with how the sheriff has been operating to date with the cars and everything, okay, one deputy seems fiscally within what we might be able to handle, especially if he takes out the 145,000. You know, so we've got almost a trade here, right? Two deputies does push over more into, you know, more into cost. We're picking up the cost. So that's where I am. To me, it is somewhat a fiscal, a financial decision. But I did run it. I did run my numbers: one deputy, one admin sergeant.
On page 163, on the bottom, says miscellaneous requested vehicles thorough and added to the fleet. 8-7 would need to be rotated annually. I'm reading that if we only had one vehicle, you could still rotate 7.
There might be one year you have one extra. If you add one to the next.
Mm-hmm. I'm 64,000. I think that 64,000 is a soft figure.
What page did you have?
163.
Thank
Lisa,
you.
Did you have to response?
Yeah.
I know you did.
Yeah, I do. No, I just wanted to look at where you're looking at. Linda, where were you just looking at on
163? 163 at the bottom, miscellaneous.
Oh, okay.
I think there's some double counting in here too. It's not going to be a huge thing, particularly if we're taking 145 out of his budget anyway. But I think he's double counting. Do you need if you're buying uniforms and equipment, do you need uniforms and equipment and replace it and repair the first year?
Yeah.
If you've got ILEA on that top section under budgetary considerations, do you need ongoing education and training the first year? Ditto on equipment maintenance, maybe. I think there's a few thousand extra in there.
Well, understand that. From my perspective, if you're looking at FY21 budget, we're looking at FY21 budget. So if you approve that position to put in the funding, then as a board, you'll say, okay, and we'll add another X number of dollars for uniforms and for training and for you don't have to look down the road and start planning for that at this point in time, because you know going into it that this is where we're going to go next year, and it will get incorporated into this budget.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. I just like the comment about training. So I did hear, I think I remember Nick saying that then after they go to the law enforcement academy, there's another 3 months where there's some additional training.
They're on.
Yeah, they're on.
They train on each ship with another.
Okay, so it's not like we're paying somebody else.
But they're not out on their own.
Put
it that way. They don't get done with the academy and then they come back and say, okay, you're out on your own. You're going to.
And then you bring somebody else, which means you don't get
their own. Right. They have their own local training that they do.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not a training cost. It's just a delay.
Okay,
then
Right. Alone by themselves.
Yeah.
Right. So that they're.
Yep.
Right. So are we looking at cost wise, as I'm looking at 163, so just one new officer would be the $93,000. And then if you look at the salaries, benefits, and other considerations on top of that, an additional $100,000.
I don't know if that's other budgetary considerations. Is that what you were talking about, Linda? That those might not be the first year.
That's what I'm saying. Why are we replacing uniforms and equipment when we just bought uniforms and equipment? $1,000. Why are we paying for ongoing and education training expense? We've already got them going to ILEA. That's like a second year.
They budget about $500 per deputy.
I'm sure they do, but I'm still saying it's a double counting for the first year.
Well, unless I'm wondering, is that something separate, a separate training that they might have to I would agree with you on the if you take on one new person, uniform equipment replacement repair, do you really need another $1,000 or something really drastically happened, I would think they could come before us and we could maybe find $1,000 for them.
The other way to look at it, though, is we've already taken $145 out of his operating, so we don't have to keep him here. Just to make it easy.
I'm just trying to figure that out. I mean, because you've got to calculate in the salary and benefits. So that's why I was just asking. You've got the $93,000 mm-hmm. plus the $100,000, correct? That's how we're looking at there. So to me, if you're hiring someone out, you're definitely going to do the $93,000 and probably the
$87,000. Mm-hmm.
That's a definite.
Yes.
If they have a car, the question is, do they have a current car that does it need updating with their licensing support? I'm not sure
if the initial cost if they get 1 year or what.
I don't know. I mean, so.
That should be everything. That should be the.
Fully equipped.
Yeah,
I'm
new car.
Their word.
I mean, no. I'm saying they're only budgeting like 23 or 25 per vehicle. In their budget request.
Yeah, but I thought they had something else that was for having the purchased equipment for it. That's a stripped. I thought that was stripped down, and then they've got to add all it.
It's a brand new car that doesn't have a change.
There's no equipment being changed.
Yeah, they change it over from an old car, and they're saying they can't do that because this is an additional car. They're not replacing, it's not a replacement car, it's an additional car. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're having to buy everything new for it.
Mm-hmm.
My question,
itemized numbers
yeah.
for that. I know they probably have them. All you have to do is ask, you know, what's the car
for the car? How about we put in the 100 and the 93 and this miscellaneous motor vehicle changeover, we kind of ignore that.
So you're saying for one is 193.
If requested vehicles are added to the fleet, 8 vehicles instead of 7 would be needed to rotate annually. So that wouldn't happen until the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I'm trying to remember the conversation that we had. So is that if we added 4 new there, and so you'd add 4 new, I'm just trying to think of what his potential thought process would be. So if you're adding 4 new vehicles, and then they would have 3 additional ones that they're rotating. I'm just trying to figure,
yeah.
is that right?
So are you asking, would it be 54,000 for 4 years in a row, and then there'd be like 3 years where you could take out that 54,000? Because if you were adding all 4, and they're rotating on a... Right, 7 at a time, you've increased it, right? So out of a 7-year rotation, there'd be 4 years where we'd have to add in another 54,000.
They rotate every
4
years.
Well, they rotate every 4?
Aren't the patrol cars rotated every 4?
Patrol, yeah.
Okay.
So you're adding another car each year.
Thank you.
All right,
got it.
If you're approving all 4 positions, you would add another car each year. So instead of 7... in a year, there'd be 8. And that was just a notification letting you know. So, okay, so if we add 1 more car. Okay.
That's
just how it was written did not make
sense.
You don't have to do this, but we can go to them and say the board is considering adding 1 deputy, update this list just to make sure we're on the same page.
Got it?
I mean, that's just the thought.
Right.
And we don't have to do that.
I don't think we have to do anything with the miscellaneous thing on the bottom.
Okay.
21. Would you agree, Lisa?
Yeah, I mean, the question is, if you
not
come back and say, I need a car, do we have it elsewhere in the budget? You're purchasing the new one this year, so there's no trade out.
Yes. Oh, that's the full
yes, okay.
Yeah.
That's up here. So this
okay.
won't impact. If you're just doing one, this won't impact mm-hmm. for another.
Exactly.
Once this new one needs to be replaced, then you would impact.
So this was just an FYI of information.
Yeah.
This wasn't I think I do recall him saying that when he was there, that I just wanted to let you know that if you do that, this is how our rotation would be.
Okay.
So would we agree to the 93,000 plus the 100,000 figure? Because I can give on my double counting some stuff because it's like a couple thousand dollars. I mean, that's not worth messing with, I don't think.
So in that one, I went back to the Sergeant one and added up the same categories here. So that would be a little bit less. If he decided not to add a patrol deputy, but instead in that one addition he promoted to the admin sergeant, he'd still be within the $193,000. And the car would be less. Not quite sure I understand how an admin equipped patrol car would be less than a full patrol car, given shouldn't your sergeants be able to respond?
I wrote take-home cars beside it.
Okay, but
unmarked.
I think we want them, but the intent of what we're talking about is that we want something. We want a deputy out on the road.
Okay.
And I think we need to convey that.
I think that's what the public generally is looking for. Is you know they mm-hmm. need. They're needing help, or
that's what we put in.
Yeah,
we put in a deputy,
deputy.
Not an administrative sergeant.
That's how I
look at that. Okay, and we have that ability. I mean, that's back to letting him run his department, his office. Sorry, I had took their office.
If you put a deputy in there, the salary is different.
And you, as a board, are the ones that determine the number of positions and positions.
So the answer to this question is yes, if we put in a position, that's not operating money, that's salary money.
Correct. That's the answer to that question, yes.
Okay.
And then what you're saying
is... You're operating an additional position in the rural fund for control business.
And at that salary, not an admin, not an admin sergeant salary, but we're giving it at a...
And I think that's where the thing we're looking at, the deputy salary is 51.9, where the sergeant is 75.3.
Okay, got it. I'm just wondering how we kind of clarify that out. Thank you.
Now, my
understanding is
you want to go ahead and pay for that out of the
rural
fund also, so you're increasing his operating positions in the
rural
fund by one.
Okay. I almost thought of a justification to pay for it elsewhere, but I don't really have anything to back it up. It would be the equivalent of one FTE deputy really good general transportation on the time, and I didn't see that any place in what I got. So I think it is going to be a rural fund. Is that?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I think you worked hard to get those into the rural fund.
Right.
We don't want to take them out unless we have a good reason to.
And then in that vehicle, I will plan on showing budgeting in local option sales tax. 40% unincorporated area. There's 148 in there for vehicles right now. So I was going to increase that by a vehicle cost. Is that what you're talking about?
Now, doesn't that take us over, though? That was...
Well, we don't pay for... The only thing we pay for is the vehicle. We don't pay for the equipment.
So do you want 20? Well, if they don't have a trade in it, maybe it will be one.
So let me ask you about another alternative out of the lost. Is we have right now the motor grader funds, the motor grader lease coming out of the lost. All right. But does not Darren's budget have the capacity to pick those up from out of the secondary road funds?
Yes.
Okay.
If that's the way you ought to do it, then you would need to increase the amount from the general and from the rural fund in the transfers, because we would not be at 75%.
Correct. Right. But we have that capacity as an option to do that. It's just moving there. Yeah, and we'd still make our 75% overall, because we would be, yes, like you say, we'd be moving a little bit more, all right? What other impacts might I not be thinking of? I'm suggesting that what we would do is we've got the motor grader at $250,000 in the local option sales tax money.
Mm-hmm.
That we do have capacity under the secondary roads budget, because we're not even pulling out our full true 75% minimum out of the general fund, general and the rural. All right, we're pulling a little bit less out, but we're still meeting our 75, because we're pulling the 250 from lost, mm-hmm. and so we're spending the correct minimum of 75, but we can just go ahead and move it out of loss. If we're focused on paying for all of this out of loss, if that's our option, I'll finish my sentence. That's an option for us. Okay.
Unfortunately, by paying for it out of loss, it does free up tax dollars in the rural fund, because if you do that move, then you have to increase your transferred to secondary roads by $244,000.
Correct.
Which is directly from tax dollars instead of from the 40% local option sales tax dollars.
Correct. So then there's 250,000 less and in the rural fund to use to pay for other things unless we increase the levy rate. I'm not advocating for that, but I mean, we do have capacity, all right, if you're talking about being able to move that out of loss, and then we would have to, if we wanted to get the same dollar amounts out of the rural, we'd have to increase the levy rate a little bit, correct? Yeah, so, but there's no restriction stopping that from an option. It would be what's the best and do we want to increase the levy on rural? That's really the, if we want that same $250,000 available total out of the rural funding.
Can we make the rest of our, go through the rest of the budgets and make the decisions and then come back to that?
Sure.
Can you keep?
Yep, I keep on bouncing back to the budget because I've got it really tight in my mind. That's okay. All right, so we've got that.
What's everybody's schedule like right now first? Because we're at 12:30.
Oh, wow.
Can we work another half hour or so?
Oh, sure.
Sure. Sure.
Everybody okay? Okay, should we go on to county attorney? I think we're done with the sheriff.
Okay. You've approved your funding. They still have to come to a board meeting to get the deputy authorization technically.
Yeah. Right.
But you're funding one deputy out of the rural fund.
Yes.
Yeah. The cost associated with it will be placed in your budget.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
Are you going to relay that to him?
It does not.
Oh, I'd be glad to do that.
It does not support still needs to remove 145. He doesn't get from that at this point in time. Let's make it clear.
Let's need to come to 145.
Right. Where I'm at 145 heads, and then we'll go ahead and talk about adding those dollars back in for the new position.
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure I understand.
Yes. Thank you. The next thing then is let's go to attorney, the position.
Once again, Linda, thanks for pulling together some good comparison case numbers.
That was pretty easy, actually. I just had to ask the judicial branch for it.
Well, thanks for that call.
I did double check because they had not updated the county attorney's number. County attorneys. I did go to county attorney's website, and there were about three changes.
Okay.
But I did ask Jessica. And she said there was something that she didn't know where they got the numbers, but she didn't give me any alternate numbers, and I don't know if she was just comparing. I think these are better numbers because they're a 12-year, what are your filings, versus a point in time one year and a point in time the next year. So I have no reason not to think they're the numbers we should be looking at. It's the wise count to compare us to Johnson County because we're kind of like counties. And Johnson has one more county attorney but has a considerable number of more total filings. So I guess I'm kind of at a loss.
If Lisa's not ready to talk right that minute. Okay. The other thing that concerns me is, once again, we're getting a new county attorney that we're appointing, and then we could have even a different county attorney as of January 1st, depending on the outcome of an election. So I think to add positions before a new county attorney has after the first of the year to settle in, okay, maybe not a whole lot of time, but given also the difference in the caseload that we were able to get, all right, I'm not comfortable funding any new positions in the county attorney's office right now.
Yeah, my question comes with two on that. Looking at 2018 and 2019, looks like the cases that Jessica currently did. But I also know in previous years, I don't think under Stephen Holmes,
he did, I think he did more administrative. I think he did finance, mm-hmm. but I think he did more administrative. We don't know what the person coming on, if he'll be he or she, I don't want to, don't want that to be any assumption, will take on the same amount of cases,
right.
more cases, any less cases. So that was, that gives me a little pause on there. In adding a new county attorney, I was putting more like the pros and cons of the additional victim assistance person. That's where I was looking at a little bit more than necessarily on hiring a new attorney at this particular time.
Did you, and I thought about that other position, okay? And my thoughts there were, once again, the new person who ends up there may have a different philosophy about how to service victims. Having watched just the office go through moving from at one time interns, I think that might have been 2 years ago, I think there was use of interns for a while to service the victims. And that, I really feel like, once again, should be that new person, permanent person, decision about how do I want my victim services, how do I want my victims interacted with. You know, do I hand them to one person and that person does it all? Is it, in fact, do I need another legal assistance via caseload? But once again, see, I think that's for that new person to do. So, and to make that decision, which is why I say I would favor not doing either one of them right now. It's unfortunate that, you know, we cannot make that answer. You know, it'd probably be easier for us in the discussion to be different if we didn't know that we could have at least one change we're having, and possibly two changes in this year.
Do you recall, a little off topic, but still with the county attorney's office, the grants that they received over the 3 years, mm-hmm. is that for a position?
No.
It is not for a position.
No, it is not.
It's all contract. Okay.
It's all contract.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be willing to consider the Victim Witness Coordinator, because I do see the value of not using attorney time for that. It's a different skill set than you need for attorneys. At the same time, I'd be, if I thought they were a little low on attorney time, I might be more for it. I'd be willing to consider it, but I'm not adamant on it.
Yeah, I said, the for me, the attorney with a new person coming in to the county as a county attorney, that one kind of dropped on my priority list, just because there's too many unknowns with that one. Victim assistance, I can go either way on that right now. I just, as you know, from different entities that I've worked with in previous roles, the amount of time that they have to develop that relationship with that individual, the trust that has to be built in, that just the level of work there. But I also agree, is we don't know what this office is going to look like any further.
And it's not the attorney doing the victim work.
Right,
business.
Right.
It's staff.
Right.
Right.
Well, it is attorney time now.
I swear
actually, right now they have two legal assistants. There's two. You have your 2/3 time, and they've both been certified as victim witness coordinators.
Yeah, they're the ones
So my understanding, and I do see the benefit of adding the victim witness. From my perspective, is they were trying to use current staffing levels, got them certified, and now they're doing not only their legal assistant work, but they are also doing that victim witness coordination piece on top of that. So I do see a benefit of having one position devoted to victim witness. I also see the point, and we're getting a new county attorney, and at any time you don't know how they want to structure their office.
Right.
But I do see the need going forward to have that victim witness piece. I do think that would be beneficial. And from HR's perspective, instead of, you know, adding, because they are working a little bit more than the 30 hours a week, and that could be attributed to the additional duties that were added on. They're getting compensated the additional supplemental pay for that, but I do think it does put a stress on current staff. That's just my...
Are you saying then, Alyssa, because I don't want to misquote, that I could be earlier misinterpreted. Okay, so for fiscal year 22, definitely, let's say that we do have it until we appoint, and then that person doesn't get reelected or doesn't choose to run, and then so now we've got another one come on January 1st, okay? But definitely that if that person's interested, you could see that maybe a request for the victim services person would be in fiscal year 22, given just on what's happening now. Is that what I'm hearing you say, or are you hearing say that really we should just go ahead and give it for 21, but urge them not to fill it until 22 or until calendar year 22?
I don't know with a different attorney you're going to have much different for that victim witness piece. I think there's a portion that needs to be done, and their staffing levels right now, they put it on current staff instead of attorneys. So they're transitioning it. Mm-hmm. I think they used, prior to that, they had three doing the piece. They had a coordinator and two assistants. And then they went to just one, and then they got rid of that piece, trying to see if that would work. My understanding is there's a need out there. They need to give more attention to that piece of that. So I could see the board taking that into consideration for FY21, regardless of who's in the county attorney. You could have a different county attorney come in and say, no, I want my attorneys to do it. You can't foresee a year and a half. And you're going to always have that, regardless of what staffing stuff you look at. So,
And I would just throw this out there. If they're concerned about the, what did Jessica say, those other cases that they may have to, the name's escaping me right now. I'm sorry. Yes.
I know what you mean.
If they see a potential...
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
please.
You. Mm-hmm. You know, if they see a potential uptick in those, mm-hmm. I think they'd want probably their current attorneys mm-hmm. addressing that more so than having the attorneys take mm-hmm. on this particular mm-hmm. role. Yeah. I can see both sides of it on this particular one. But like I said, I did give it more consideration versus just the attorney position, mm-hmm. just because of what's involved, the awful situations that the individuals have gone through, that they need mm-hmm. to have this victim witness coordinator mm-hmm. working with them, you know.
I go back to my previous job a long time ago, but there was a victim witness coordinator here, mm-hmm. and there were lots of, I saw the value to the position, I really did, particularly when we were working with domestic violence victims. So
it's my understanding that the person who filled that job a few years ago also is still being contacted sometimes. I mean, she refers them on and whatever, or refers them to other sources. So that's a clear indication of a need of one person. I mean, I got the answer.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Okay.
So you can kind of go back and forth on that particular one. Because, you don't know future-wise, mm-hmm. but sadly there is a need.
Yeah.
There's just... Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that serves vulnerable populations. Certainly, I'm more comfortable with that one than the attorney one right now, given options going forward. So, do we even have a dollar amount on that one?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Because I did not.
Little more, because what they're going to do is they're going to transition a three-quarter position into that. So what I can do is, I can calculate based on, I did create a salary range with a pay matrix to put it on there based on some comps and where I felt like it would go. But they're going to backfill with a full-time legal assistant, and that's at a lower rate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So if you'll give me a little bit of time to go do the math, and then I'll correspond with the attorney's office to make sure we're not doing that.
So we've got a pretty a yes, unless you say, oh, my gosh. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
No.
Okay. And there, I didn't see anything that was asking for any equipment or office furnishings or anything, unless they're asked for. You don't provide. You don't put money in.
It's
right?
In the account. I think it's in the budget.
It's
in the IT.
Oh, IT.
But I don't think they put. But they didn't put anything for.
They would need another worker.
Well, that raises an interesting question to me. Where are they going to put this person if they need to remodel? There was no associated costs with this. It's minimal. I would say the cost to provide a computer, desk, whatever.
Let's go on then. Is there anything else on the attorney, or should we go on to the auditor's budget?
I'm fine to go on.
The auditor request. I have to say that I was pretty, the historical numbers going from 12 to 11, 93, 11 to 10 in 2008, and Lucy, you're saying 95% of your time.
Well, I mean, I'm very
much day
to day. I'm
saying
I have five main statutory duties. And this is
the one.
This one is taking up the majority, super majority of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time.
Okay, anybody else that?
Would you accept a part time position?
We've had part time people before. I really, did not work well for the office, I have to say.
It is very difficult to recruit a part-time when you're not offering benefits or any insurance benefits. We have seen in other departments and offices that that's why we combined planning and development and health, admin
and
support.
Morale was, I don't know, that was, like I said, we looked at what we can do with our temps, let's look at what we can do with overtime, and that's why I brought a full-time person to you, because I feel like we've tried the other solutions, and now we are coming to you ahead.
If I could ask a couple follow-ups
related
to that. Okay, so from a part-time position, in addition to what Alyssa has said, also that person is not always available when the people need them. Is that part of it also, or?
We actually filled a full-time position with two part-time people, thinking that, then you don't run across so many issues with if somebody gets sick, somebody's on vacation, mm-hmm. you still have at least a half day. And first of all, just logistically speaking, you can't share a workspace. That makes, the computer is tied to the person. Maybe there have been advances since then, but for instance, I can't log into anybody else's computer in my office and pull up my stuff, right? So
you can't. No. What about other users?
No, I mean, it's my C drive. The only thing I have access to is the G drive, the shared drive, but all my
personal
stuff on my desktop is not.
Well, if you save it on your desktop,
then we had another workstation, which was not in the main office, and that's not a good thing for our office. The configuration was a little different in the outer office then too. But yeah, I didn't even consider a half-time person because A, it's a full-time job that I need somebody for. B, logistically speaking, not a fan of that option for the office based on the space. And it wasn't like we didn't hire good people to do the job with skills. It's just not And then, you know, when we're really busy, we really needed both of them there full time anyway. So that was a different position. That was for our administrative support position. But
it sounded great.
Yeah.
I mean, by having a couple people, and you know, then it. But it
right.
didn't do what
it
was.
Yeah.
They
I understand
yeah.
two people filling sharing one job is different set. Here. I was
no.
just asking about somebody
yeah.
coming in.
And I asked the question too because it used to be fairly cyclical in the past when I was over there.
That yeah,
it's gone.
It's not really.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be every you know every 2 years you'd have a that need for election,
right.
And now it seems
so
like it.
Cover that bump with the temps and OT, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Here's the day-to-day stuff,
yeah.
And the changes.
This is more like a high-level analysis, you know, just admin, technical.
Mm-hmm. Is there a reason that this position itself would not report through IT instead?
I did touch on this, I thought at my budget work session, is that the stuff that we have is not allowed to be networked. So it's all air-gapped from the internet in any case, but it cannot, you know, it sounds like an IT position, yes, but I need somebody that's here that knows elections that's going to handle stuff that never touches Story County Network. So
thanks for the refresher.
Yes, I need that firewall physically, you know.
And looking at the other, I mean, we took a look at the other counties, and they do have they call them all different. I can't even remember what, they have coordinator and technician, and I'm trying to remember all of them. But they have, you know, how you're set up now, you have more of the administrative type election help. And everything is, and then everything else is put on the deputy.
Yes.
So a lot of these other counties do have that more technical piece and another position to cover that versus the administrative assistant that helps. Because right now they have 1.5 admin assistants technically assigned to elections.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And you still need that
right.
to handle the day-to-day
right.
piece of it.
And that sort of gets a little bit of the cycle there for these.
Time that
it's managed
to
election workers, which they don't,
because
they're not working every day.
But then she's got a real estate piece
to
her position, too.
So she splits her time.
Yeah.
Any other questions, thoughts?
I know this is a new position, but do we have a general idea mm-hmm. of salary range?
Negotiated with the union. So
okay.
Yeah, I mean, a technician, I mean, I could ballpark it, but... I'm a little reluctant to do that. There's no way I can keep this out. If the union wants this as a union-covered position, there's not a exemption, because it doesn't, you know, supervise anybody. It's not a confidential. I could go to the union, and if they were not interested in doing that, most likely that won't happen. I mean, we could just add it, and then we could do the route of petitioning. But we have a really good working relationship with our union. We're adding a position. I don't have a leg to stand on to keep it out of the
union. Do you have a comparable position in our classification system?
You know,
I was just looking in the ballpark. What would we potentially be looking at? And if you don't want to say now, that's fine. I was just trying to figure
I could see it looking at what positions are over. I mean, I think it would be a little bit above the payroll accounts. I mean, in between that, more towards the lower than the mapping technician, because that's at the max salary. This would have a new scale, so that's where I would. 45.
That's including benefits?
No.
Let's try. 45 plus what, about 20%? Any benefits from the full package?
Your budget family at 15,000.
Well,
I have the attorney, or I'm just going to go to the sheriff. It fluctuates. We do a worst case scenario. Like they would take the max benefit. I mean, I would do, if they took family, it's like $24,000, $24,500 with everything built in. That's flex of $1,400. That's insurance, employer contributions. That's
short term. You're looking at $70,000, essentially.
Or more.
Everybody's pleasure. I either have to make cuts or Eastman's limited when I'm going through the essential functions again. And this is not the position that I would choose to fund given our situation right now and the other positions. I do understand that the need, that your need you're describing is an internal okay? And I'd like to say, I personally feel I want to stay focused on external. So that for me would be waiting.
I certainly am a little bit more open on this one. I guess one, just because I think of elections, the integrity of the elections, the need for ensuring that we've got good data in place. So I'm certainly more open on this particular position. I do get a little concerned about the cost of just any of all the positions that we're kind of looking at that have been requested at this particular time. Besides this one, we have, what is it, conservation? Who had, is that correct?
Watershed coordinator now.
Right,
and you said two more positions.
Two more after this.
Gosh. What if we were to put it in for now and not say absolutely yes on any of the positions, but these are the ones that we would like to fund, and then come back and look at the numbers after, Lisa, you've redone them? Is that possible?
Oh, I mean, so even on the attorney one, though, you could just kind of wait and get the picture of everything.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm for putting it in for now.
For both attorney ones, you're saying?
Just one.
What?
Because you're, okay.
We were just doing the
picture. All right, I'm good.
Thanks. I just wanted to clarify.
You're
clear
doing first round of call.
Yeah. I think
we're doing first
so
round.
So before you make a decision, they're definitely funded. Take a look at the impact by funding them has on the overall budget, and then make your final
Thank
decision.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that makes sense.
Okay. So we have three, then. We'll put this one. I'm putting this one in on
yeah, the or tentative or whatever. And I think I appreciate that, Lena, because I guess I'd look at it too. If we started out with, what was it, four deputies and a sergeant, or was it three deputies and a sergeant? Mm-hmm. You know, you're starting with the bigger. Let's whittle it down. Mm-hmm. Let's take another look and whittle it down to your final. It adds another meeting to us, but I'd rather that we've done our due diligence to make sure that that's.
Well,
we want or we don't want.
This is the first time the three of us have gone through a budget together and made decisions. And I know we're taking more time than maybe we have in the past, but I just want to say right now, just have to say, Steph, I appreciate it because I think it's going to mean that we're going to feel better about decisions we make, and we're also asking questions that maybe people didn't have to ask in previous years. They just knew. So I'm good. So we'll put that in for now. Then we move to Community Services Housing Coordinator. We have two left. Housing Coordinator and the Water Quality.
And what page is that one on again, the Housing Coordinator?
I think Community Services, I'm not sure.
Okay, I thought maybe you just had the page open.
Pardon?
Yeah, what did you say?
60.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the funding is already built in at this point in time to next year's budget.
You know, I'll just start. It sounds nice. I'm not sure how essential it is. Yeah, it could help people who are needing help get to it faster. I'm not convinced it's a full-time position, though.
I agree with that. As I have gone through this process through a year ago and I questioned and whatever, I did listen to the standard after Carla said it was here. I said, okay, you've convinced me about the benefits of it staying here in-house, but I still walked away thinking, is this truly a real full-time position? Let's look at, there's 1,000 people coming a year, okay, that are applying, but they're applying to all of our community services people, right? So this would be just focused on those people who then rent or utilities and coordinating them together. So I'm back to, is this a half-time position? Alyssa's not the first time.
I'm not at
half-time.
Sorry.
I know.
We just have so many issues. Right. No,
it's so 1.6%.
You have to get the correct individual to fill up.
Right. And so then we look at, so if we were to fund this externally again, okay, as part of a grant to another group, they would probably only do, they'd probably find other funding for that person to do something for the rest of their time. All right. That's just where I think we are with given everything.
Well, I'm also wondering if it can't be, if there were a database and it were coordinated, if it couldn't be incorporated with the other folks who've gotten that office as part of their function. It just doesn't seem like rocket science to me.
What do you mean? I'm sorry, I didn't.
With the other folks in that office.
You have regional mental health.
So
all of them are regional?
I can't remember. I need to ask Lisa. There might be a piece that's general assistance, but it's not enough to put this on, is my understanding. I mean, you can ask Carla. We don't have full. How many do we have? How many service coordinators are charged with general assistance?
In
her
budget, she lists
how
we're doing.
Not charged to general. Most of it is mental health.
Right.
Yeah, the regional.
So we have,
I know, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
I haven't seen
the
online
version. Is it on that staffing sheet returned to you? Three FTEs are in community services. 5 FTEs are in mental health.
But the 3 is not all service coordinator.
But the 3 is not
the administrative assistant.
Is it
Carla? Or not Carla.
No.
Erin.
Erin is in general. Yep. And then
at least one.
Two service coordinators.
Not a full
2.
No.
Which one is Melanie?
Melanie's in mental health. She's coming out of mental health.
But is there one FTE in community?
Okay.
Or admin?
Oh, okay.
Not so service coordinator.
25% of part. Yeah. It's one service coordinator, Erin, and then a mixture.
Mixture of everything else. So there's just one attributed to, and that would be the rent and utility coordination. And then the rest are all regional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can put it on the regional employees. Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, gotcha.
No, I would argue that they're, I mean, I know, like, Tyler and Stacy, to their mental health, and then they're also at the jail.
Yeah.
And then you look at Nikki and Kathy, I mean, that's, they split the alphabet for their the clients, so they're pretty full in that respect. I'm not tied into this position at all by any means. I think in for Somerset for families, it's nice to go to one location on it, but some are they're just going to naturally go to. We know what ERP does. We know what Good Neighbor does. We know what the, I mean. I think you want someone to help coordinate that. Sometimes comes the question of, I mean, the best thought out plan does not always end up being the best thought out plan, I guess you want to say.
Right. Are we?
And this is in the budget right now, so if you don't want to fund it, it would reduce their general fund salary.
Oh, so had you had in the
it
past?
It was funded less.
So, it was funded less.
They just never came to approve.
We never approved.
Okay, so that is what you said before. So yeah, that's right, right. They didn't have the vision quite yet fleshed out for it.
So I do look at, you know, under the requirements here, the essential functions here that was, you know, from last year's request to bring it forward. One of the things is Kathy Johnson is doing some of these functions already.
All the service coordinators are.
Yeah.
It's the same. They just, we just took, it's a housing service coordinator. So they're going to do the same functions, whether they are a service coordinator for mental health. Those broad functions are the same. They're helping individuals get services or rent assistance or different things.
They're going through this whole process now.
Yeah, because I think
and
she said
having a specialized database, everybody could use the database and do the job more efficiently without really adding duty.
They're thinking you're going to get more case, the caseloads are going to go up because you're going to have more.
If they do, then let's consider it.
Yeah,
but not now.
It's hard to remember from last week. It's up to you. Because I do remember saying if they built the database, then if we looked at, okay, we'll have it here and then look at somebody else doing it, they really can't transfer it. Somebody else would have to start from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
probably with their database. She thought that through, if I recall correctly, through ISAC or whoever that they're working with,
mm-hmm.
they could get it so somebody could log in to just see a certain
mm-hmm.
specific data to tie that in. And stuff. But
and we could reach out to Carla and see if they can start the program with current staffing levels.
Yes.
My understanding is that the general assistant, I mean, this would not be pushed onto any of those regional,
mm-hmm.
they're not regional employees, but those that are paid out of regional funds, they would have to use the service coordinator in the general fund. And my understanding is that it wasn't capacity to add anything to that position, but We can reach out to Carla and get some information, or if Sandra wants to talk to her.
Yeah, I guess the question would be, with leaving it as is, kind of where you're saying, Alyssa, to help with just, does that get the start with their current, get it up and going, and, you know, with them just having access to the information,
yeah.
right, or however it's kind of tailored to it, and then determining, gosh, are we seeing this huge growth that we need to fund? We definitely need to fund this position. We don't
the pay is exactly the same, and they wrote the job description to mirror a service coordinator, but be focused on that housing piece.
Right. And I do remember her saying that.
Yep,
I do remember her saying that.
Because it would be the same credentials to hire in, technically. They're going to have the same.
Right.
I don't think there's enough capacity with the general assistant service.
Like the real question would be to the client.
It is.
I was hearing from different asset agencies mm-hmm. about the runaround that the
mm-hmm.
clients get going back and forth and heard the same thing from VA.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, that's what the real benefit
is. Sure. And you understand that when you are potentially looking at low income or no income individuals, don't have transportation
mm-hmm.
or minimal for transportation, having to go from one place to another can be a struggle.
Certain places will be only on certain days or by appointment only. So on a day, maybe if you've got to work, you know, to try to fit that in, or if you've walked across town. So I get it, where you have someone in there who could do those phone calls and do that connection. But I also look at some of them, they are already kind of doing that at this particular time. And if they don't have the database set up yet, I'm just trying to figure out, does that help them out? Does it add more work to them?
So they're in there longer. My understanding is the time, and Carla can elaborate on this, but instead of them coming in and looking at just county benefits and getting that information, the time they spend with each client would go up.
Would go up because they'd be looking at other...
And getting more information. I mean, right now they're filling it out for our benefits. If they don't meet those income guidelines or whatever, they refer them on. But instead of referring them on, they would
take on that entire role. So
that's kind of what I understand without working with them.
An email kind of almost automated out to these three or four places saying,
do you have,
or matching with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see it being a full-time position needed to do it. That's mine.
Maybe reaching out to Carla with this.
Maybe you
get
should
get that information, or maybe we could
figure out how to talk with Carla and say, is there a way to do this with existing staff?
Okay.
We got it.
So you want me to take it out?
Yeah.
Funding at this point?
Yes, I think so.
I guess, Loris, your thoughts? It just hurt you five.
I think it is a service that's externally focused. Once again, yes, this is really for the clients, okay? And some of the other parts of the job description, like I said, Kathy goes to the Two Rivers, et cetera, meetings, and of course she's going continually to the staffing where they're actually allocating benefits. I call it staffing. That's how old term, but you know, the going to the prioritization of applicants. Okay. So I do look at this once again about, I think we still will not be providing ease for the clients, but I can't justify a full-time position here for this. And given the part-time problems, okay, I guess so. That's the choice now, is to take the funding out for it right now and not approve it right now.
I mean, the other option I'll just throw out as the devil's advocate, since we put the auditor in there for right now, is we could put in until we talk with Carla, get some more information and see if it, I mean, I get it, the whole halftime thing. We could just find out a little more. Is that a possibility or?
Yeah, halftime, you're going to have people call up and saying, oh, I'm sorry, you can't come in here in the morning for this.
Well, yeah, that's
the other one.
That's
you're right. Walk in
then you're back right with all the others.
Which is then, I'm taking back what I said to Sandra, I'm sold it should be in-house, okay? But then maybe we just instead look at down the road here in a few months, we see if there's some agency that is thinking about trying to expand staff, whether it be, like, say, and I'm just saying, like, ERP to go do the AMOS first group or whatever, and say, hey, if we gave you, you know, $25,000 extra, would you be willing to try to see if you could use this program and you're the person we think?
Now, they won't have access to some of that program.
I
think it's going to cost another organization a lot more than it's going to cost
us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
But that's just with the software piece. We already have some of that, whereas you have to go from scratch to have somebody
sure.
do that. But I don't want to speak for Carla either. I mean, I think we need to get, if you want some definite information about staffing and the time, if she's able to have current staff do. I know she does have some of her administrative assistants in their job description. They do some basic general assistance work.
Okay.
So she already has some of that general assistance piece being taken care of by a couple of the administrative assistants, but it falls, the denials. So I don't think she has current capacity, but I think we should
have to do it with the help of us
not the service coordination team.
No, but
they were doing, they, they're,
the administrative assistants are doing, my understanding, we went through certain, it's been a couple years, we went through and said, okay, is it okay to have them do this, this, and this? And they're doing the basic denials and different things.
That's a different classification level.
Yep.
For the
yep.
Those coordinators. But what additional information would you need in order to be able to determine whether this would be part-time or full-time? What type of data would you like to see in order to be able to more to strengthen your decision?
And I don't know that it would be very difficult to pull together since Carla comes every quarter to tell us how many people have applied anyway. But really, we're interested how many people have approached us looking for rent or utility assistance. And I think that's what, you know, we go through and add them up. And
excuse me, it's
about 1,000 a year, mm-hmm. I
well,
think,
our,
is what hits me. So that's less than 100 a month.
But so
then what's the time takes.
If I recall correctly, you both will have to correct me.
Sure.
So it was the 1,000 a year who came to them, were they were the approved ones who met the CICS criteria, or were they denied because they didn't meet the CICS criteria?
No, the thousand were denied because they didn't meet our criteria for general funding. So then I think, you know, who was passed on? Once again, the other agencies that we're looking at using this would be ERP, which does not tie in necessarily to CICS, right? Okay, and also Good Neighbor. I mean, these are going to be people who are more, they've lost their job and they didn't have any savings, or they've gone through their savings or whatever. This is not going to be mental health tied.
Right.
Because anybody who's mental health tied immediately goes over to one of our service coordinators, right?
Well, and I think some of it, what she explained is our program that we have is they're only eligible if they're once or twice, whereas some of these other programs, they don't have that. So, I mean, I think there'll be an increase and they're able to come in and get more assistance more often. So I think that's where they felt like there was a need. But I still think Carla would have, I don't want to speak for Carla.
Yeah.
No, she did say that you come and you get that assistance once. Mm-hmm. Some of the other organizations, again, they all have various criteria as well. For, you know, is it once or twice a year? You know, even as Carla was saying, like I think with Good Neighbor, you have to pretty much have a notice that you are going to be evicted for not paying your rent. I mean, you've got to be.
They also need, I think for Good Neighbor specifically, and maybe for ERP, Homeless Prevention Funds, they need to get a denial from us first. So we're seeing the traffic of everyone before they can access these other people. So the only question is, because I don't want to minimize this.
Right.
You're broke, you've lost your job, your car doesn't work, or you can't get on the bus or whatever, and all of a sudden now you're being told to go see Good Neighbor separately and filling out another application, and then, you know, you're being told to go see ERP or whatever. Are we in a position to be able to fund this at a full-time job with benefits right now?
It seems like to me, it's not full-time. I don't know why. It seems like it's more of a coordinating. It doesn't necessarily, it's a process issue. It's not a short an employee issue. To me, it's a process.
It is.
That's where I keep getting stuck on this. When you're hiring a full-time employee with benefits to solve a process issue.
Right. And so I can't advocate for that. I'm sad that
yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. Well, you can just hear from our conversations, we kind of go around full circle of you get yes, then no. You've got reasons all around. You're right.
It's a process of control, but this isn't the most efficient way of solving it.
Yeah,
right. I think.
Okay, so out of the budget, and
are there other options like three-quarter time that would be eligible for?
There isn't a huge cost saving. Three-quarter time, you still have that big. What really increases the cost of a position, I mean, the salary is a huge cost, I get that. It's the benefit package. So we don't have a different benefit package for a three-quarter employee and a full-time. So when you go to do a three-quarter, you're paying that
full $25,000 benefit package, if that makes sense. We just don't have, we don't pay 3/4 of their premium. I mean, it's just a full, we consider that, and it is, and under ACA requirements, it's a full-time employee in regards to 30 hours a week is what qualifies for that. So, I mean, you'll have a salary savings of 25%, but that would, that's pretty minimal compared to the total cost, in my opinion.
So I think we have a decision.
We do.
Okay. Let's go on to the last position, the water quality coordinator.
So I looked at the job description that Alyssa sent with my minor changes to last year's, and there were very minor changes in there. I think I highlighted under the general definition of work that just added as directed by the Water Quality Working Group under essential functions 1 and 3, added some additional language there, and I don't think there was anywhere else.
They just added a few clarifications.
I consider them to be clarifications. It didn't change the scope of the position, in my opinion.
Okay.
So
when I went through and looked at those, I read the minutes. And the first thing I want to make a note is for the meeting notes from the watershed meeting from December 2nd. And I'd like to make note that there was a discussion, and then I'll bring it back to this position specifically, but there was discussion about Sandra not joining the watershed implementation group. And it's noted in here that, because she's replacing Deb Shildroth. I mean, you know, a new, that person has moved on. And the comment was, no, we appointed people, not positions. Now, considering it was the Board of Supervisors who appointed this group, and this group is accountable to the Board of Supervisors, I'm sad that there was some confusion about the group being able to decide who they wanted in it or not. So the first thing I'd like to do, regardless of where we end up in this position, is, Sandra, I'd like to ask you to get on an agenda quickly here as one of our agendas, Board of Supervisors, as a either a, maybe a consent or, if we need to discuss it further, consideration and, you know, discussion and consent, is appointing you to the watershed group. Okay.
I thought it was the position.
I thought it was a position, too. I didn't hear it was a person. So now I'm going to shift over here.
It was a position because we looked at departments in county government that were mentioned in the watershed assessment as having work to be done.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that.
The minute.
I don't know why.
Okay. So let's just go ahead.
I'm not sure. I can't tell if I was in the room then or not.
So now, the reason then moving over here to the job itself is that where is the best place for this position to report to give all voices equal consideration and say? And you notice that Margaret James brings that up in the minutes from December 2nd. One of the things that I appreciate most about Margaret, in addition to her expertise in her field, is she is very knowledgeable and she asks these questions about, she's been in government for a long time and you've got one department who's overseen daily by a somewhat independent commission board. Right, and everybody else almost is reporting to either the Board of Health or to us directly, and we're the ones who adopted the implementation plan. So I'd like to have us consider changing this to say that this position reports to, either we could do it one way. One option would be reports jointly to the Director of External Operations and the Conservation Director, kind of like IDRM does with secondary roads, or that the position reports to us.
Let's first talk, well, let me suggest something. Let's first talk about whether or not we're interested in funding the position.
Okay, sorry, okay.
I think that might be the first question.
Okay.
And you know, on how we have prioritized it in comparison to the other positions that we're looking at. And then if we decide that we're interested, let's talk about the specifics of job description. Is that okay with everybody?
Sure. Thank you for redirecting me.
That's okay. So can someone give me a little history why it was not funded last year? I remember Mike talking about it. I don't quite remember.
I don't think you were ready for it. The watershed group had just been organized. And that's my question. Are you going to be ready for a watershed coordinator July 1st? I don't know. That's from the outside and looking. I mean, the job, and we can talk about who it reports to and different things like that. That's a little less. But my question is, are we ready for this position July 1st? Are those stuff on the – I don't know everything on the implementation matrix.
Right.
Are they going to be done and complete and ready for something like this in FY21?
Yeah, I mean, that was
no.
Kind of part of my question on it. And part of it, too, was just from Mike's conversation with her, what he thought they would do. I was just a little taken aback. I thought that there would be so much more additional information onto this than what was proposed last year. Just by his explanation of what they would do. And maybe I mistook what he was saying, but I guess I expected it to be, even though he said some minimal changes, what all he talked would be involved, I thought there would be much more on that. So,
and I thank you both, Alyssa and Lisa, okay, because part of what I feel here is that the Watershed Implementation Group is meeting quarterly right now, and I think given where we've seen what has and has not progressed out of it, meet with that meeting schedule, that before, I think, bringing on this position, all right, maybe the Watershed Group needs to have a discussion about should they meet more often to identify the things in the implementation matrix. It's a pretty specific and detailed implementation matrix, including assigning functions to various entities, various offices and departments, and see how the implementation group itself can look at what can it get done without a watershed coordinator, which was kind of the reasoning about why we didn't do it last year. We're not ready. Let's have this workshop, move this watershed group go forward. In the discussion about definitely this is the area of interest and expertise for one of our supervisors, and let's have Linda sit on it, you know, so that she's helping to provide input also. Bringing in the Director of External Operations was more to see that everybody coordinates to move forward, okay? So I think, what do you think, Linda, about maybe the group starts to meet more often, picks out some more things to move forward, and we don't fund it right away?
It's an interesting group, and the watershed assessment is an interesting document because it brings in so many diverse areas of the county. And I think because of that, we've got people who have their hands terribly full doing what they're already doing. Take our engineer, for example, and then there's some things that come up in the watershed assessment that really relate to that. There's things that relate to drainage districts. There's a lot of complicated issues because of that. It's not anybody's primary responsibility. Does that mean we need to have somebody whose primary responsibility it is? I'm not sure. I've been wanting to find some time, quite frankly, in the last several months to sit down and talk with Leanne about it and talk about how we're guiding whatever this group and some things we might be able to do differently. I simply have not been able to find that time. She's had a lot of things on her plate. I have the concern of where if we hired this watershed assessment coordinator right now where the direction would go. And I think we can, you know, I think maybe, I'm not sure if the group needs to, I'm not sure, but I'm not sure exactly how I would direct, you know, how this position would be directed within one department. Are the needs there to do some things? Yeah, but I'd give it another year before we say that we have a position and a clear mandate for what that position would do. And Sandra, if you want to join this group, I'd be glad to have you there on the group. That's not the thing. It was talking about positions previously, but maybe you could be helpful in helping us think through some of that stuff. Maybe new eyes, fresh eyes on it would be a good thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd be there.
So it sounds like a zero for that
one. Zero on that one.
Okay, not this year. And I don't know that the group is clear. And maybe, you know, I wasn't in the discussion because I said I should stay out of the discussion. So I might be able to go back and have that discussion. I know we've made a decision. We could have that discussion, you see.
Yeah, and
clearly.
I think that's where my comments came in was I thought from Mike's presentation is that it sounded like they were trying to define it or be a little bit more definitive. But yet, the description that I was expecting it to be didn't necessarily reflect that. That's where I was a little confused by. That's when mm-hmm. I thought I would see a little bit more. I expected this to be different than from the last year,
yeah.
based on what he presented to us.
Well, I think the other thing is, I would like to have people in Audrey go back and read their sections of that watershed assessment because. I'm not sure the implementation matrix is being the right tool to guide the group
okay.
at this point. I get kind of lost in it sometimes.
It's a big topic. Clearly it's a priority for us, but let's do it right.
Whatever that is.
I'm doing a good forethought.
So we've gone through all the positions. Take it out. Thank you. We've gone through all the positions. The things we have left, unless I'm missing something, would be the $150,000 on the housing and the two $5,000 items on economic development.
And the auditor position. That's our position.
We left it in.
I think you put it in and are going to take a look at what it would
We'll look at it.
You didn't mention it, that's why I just wanted to make sure that we
still have to make decisions on now. Of $150,000 for housing and the two $5,000 pieces for economic development.
I am sorry I couldn't find that budget right away.
Well, and I don't know if it answered my question. I may have the question answered in my own mind.
Okay.
I think some of the other things we've been talking about, we've still got three positions in, and I think that's going to push it really, really hard. I guess I'm not really in favor of putting either of these items in right now. If an opportunity, you know, here's something I have recalled from the last year is sometimes opportunities have come up to help something and we have been able to find the money. And that would be great if an opportunity came up on the housing. You know, that something was coming to fruition, that if the county could find some money, hopefully we could. We're going to have other asks that we don't know about. They come up throughout the year. I've seen that.
Yeah.
And we found, we were able, the Miracle Field came up this year as an example, and we were able to find funds for that. I think that I for some reason I've got a newspaper I haven't gotten to yet. I keep seeing that Nevada's doing something with the field house there, and I can't think they wouldn't be asking us for money. What is the timetable on that? Have you seen?
I haven't. It's on my list to call. So I'm looking at my list and what expecting, whatever. And my concern, once again, is that so that money, we will go to that money because the act may come before a housing group is ready, and that what we do have for capacity goes to something that is not. And you're just throwing your hands up in the air, and I just am having trouble us not having a placeholder for something that I think that is really needed, as opposed to maybe the money is going out, that it, we end up giving that money to something that is more of a want of a community rather than a need of the county and a need of a segment of the population. But that I can't do it. I'm one vote of three, and so there's another vote.
Well, I mean, we kind of talked of either an all or nothing at the table here.
Mm-hmm.
We could have a conversation of saying, and I haven't decided one way or another. I'm just throwing things out.
Right.
I just want to be clear on that yet. You could do a placeholder for that pilot program, that line item, because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, okay, let's placeholder $25,000 versus $50,000. I still, my only struggle with the whole thing is I want the data. You know, that housing thing, data. That's where I pull at, and that's where Loris, I applaud you for being adamant for 3 years to get that going, because it is so sorely needed. And I've heard that when I've been out in the communities. One, they want to bring more people in. Two, they need to know what type of housing they need, you know, what level. Is it just, is it the 150,000? Is there capacity for a higher level? We don't know and stuff. So certainly, I'm glad that we funded that. But if the Chamber and USDA are working on something, I shouldn't say if they are, they are, because you've stated that to us. I mean, do we want to have just a little something there to say, okay, we have an interest of being a player. If the request is higher, we'd have to look for that. If it's they're not ready for it, well then, you know, you can de-appropriate and utilize it elsewhere. But we have just kind of said housing is an important issue. That's where I kind of struggle at.
I feel better about having some placeholder amount. If it's $25,000, for example, okay, and then we have to look at what comes in.
As long as we don't. Here's the thing. I would want to wait till a request came to us rather than us going out and saying, hey, while you're doing this, realize we have $20,000 set aside for you. I'd rather we not do that. That we put it there, somebody may notice it, but just say we don't know what it might be. We put it there, but we're not offering it up until asked. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. So,
do you change the title? I mean,
yeah, as a pilot project or whatever.
Is it towards housing, but we're not being specific that it's for the pilot program, or?
Well, I think that kind of that gets away from what Linda is saying. So,
and maybe I misunderstood what she was saying. So
she's saying is, look, if we say we put X number of dollars in there, and then if somebody goes out and says, hey, we've got this money for you. Do they then get, if I'm quite wrong here, do they either try to develop something that incorporates us rather than letting them go organically? So the question for me is in the middle, and I think
If the middle is, I just happened to get a text from the CEO over at Strike County Medical. People are interested, all right? So the question then becomes, or the issue becomes, is putting the implementation, I think, on these people who are looking at projects. Is saying, look, you guys either try to get your act together enough where you figure out whether you would be needing county help or not, and then it's first come, first serve, all right, for any requests, and that's not saying we'll give you the money. So that's, Linda, is that kind of where I'm hearing you more there, whereas if we put a dollar amount in, that will create expectations, or have I misquoted, have I mis- restated.
What expectations do you think are already created?
I think that there's none with the possibility of the Ames Story County Medical one. I just know that they...
Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Okay, so there is this tax money, federal money available, low-income housing tax credit money, and you have to bid for it. It's a very competitive bid, but then it does allow for housing to be built where a certain percentage of it has to meet the median income, 60%, et cetera. So as this started, it was just talking about doing Story County Medical. And as it got a little further...
I'm sorry, just for clarification. So explain to me how Story, because you said just for Story County Medical.
Yeah, sure.
So just take a step back there with that.
So Story County Medical, from the day I walked in the door, they want to get rid of the North Campus. They need to, all right, for various reasons. So meanwhile, it came up with the Crestview is how it all started about us looking at that as a housing campus.
Okay,
all right. So then we had some discussions. Deb and I went over to look with Alyssa's brother and, if we had moved to Crestview before. Well, then I started doing some more investigation. I went to the ISA annual conference. I took the whole ITEC, kind of the stream for development, and realized that that money could be used to help not only to help develop some housing here in Nevada. And that's how it started, just Nevada, and try to figure out how to get that.
And that helps because when you kept referencing Story County Medical, I was trying to figure out how
that's the medical is
that
working.
So
I came back already knowing that Story County Medical did not want to keep that campus long term.
Okay.
Already having had a discussion about could it be switched over to housing. So from that, I talked to some aggregators who were involved in nonprofit work. I talked to Vanessa Baker Latimer, and it turned out she's getting calls from aggregators. These are
What's an aggregator?
They pull together the investors that then would file for these income tax credits. Jack Hatch does it in Des Moines,
okay. As
an example. Okay, that's what he does. He's a developer that uses this particular financing mechanism and pools other people's money also. So during that process, it discovered there are people contacting the City of Ames. However, the City of Ames is focused on 321, and at that particular point in time was not interested in doing any kind of multifamily. However, I also found out that YSS was talking to Jack Hatch about trying to get something going. It went nowhere because the City of Ames was not interested. Enter in the school building in McAllister. What are they going to do about that? Could it be converted? Well, you wanted to know kind of what's going on here. So enter in the building in McAllister, and I go back to talk to IFA and to people, and I find out that the properties under one project do not have to be contiguous. They just have to be within 20 miles of each other. Okay? That all of a sudden not only made a possibility, could something be done in McCallsburg into Story County Medical, or could we pick up that lot across
from Ames City Hall, that where ACPC was, and at one point the city of Ames was working with a developer to put up, I believe, a 12-unit low-income complex, you know, low apartment there, right? That fell through, and all of a sudden, knowing what I know from Vanessa, I say, wait, what if we could lock something in that would make Nevada and Story County Medical's property more attractive if they also could develop the unit gains? All right? So that's where we left, and I talked to Steve Shanker about it, and then the whole healthy lifestyle thing all kind of took everybody's attention. Now, since then, I've talked to Steve Shanker again, and the city council has redirected Mr. Shanker, saying they would take some multifamily and low income, and they actually have talked to him about applying for LIHTC. So the question now where we are is, could we create this one project that would do both affordable housing in Ames and affordable housing on the Story County Medical site? Okay, and so there's a process, and you can only apply for this money, so it'll, you know, once a year usually. It's a multi-month process for them to pull it together. And that, and I know Story County Medical, what they've not been able to proceed on right now is, from the cash flow standpoint, and my understanding is they is to get the asbestos evaluation out there. Okay, because that's going to make a big difference whether any developers interested in rehabbing out there and just tearing down the what used to be the clinic, the newer part, or if they're going to have to go in and just level it. So that's
Story County Medical,
the old one, the North Campus. That's right.
That
this one has been, I've been talking to them on and off for 3 years. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this has taken a long time. So now it sounds like we might have something that might be a competitive project to put together to bid there. Okay.
So have you been asked for money from the county?
We are the county.
We are the county.
Have you been asked for money? Have you, anybody asked you for county money?
Not on that project yet. No, and I don't know that they will ask for it.
Okay.
The role I'm playing right now, is to bring all those parties together, okay, and get them all talking together on the same page at the same time. And I've just gotten confirmation that everybody is willing to come to the table at the beginning. And one of the missing parts then was Anna Wim, who wants to come up here to Story County. Okay, so because, and they would then serve as the builder, owner, and possible aggregator. So no, have I been asked, well, I think we've been asked indirectly by Amos about Housing First. I mean, they're not asking us to all those parties, to all those update meetings just to let us know. They're going to want money from us, and I am concerned there that they're not up to date on understanding, well, you know, that it turns out that they... there may not be the money available from us to the extent that they were hoping because of this situation with YSS and server coordination.
So
yeah.
So just for clarification on what you've just said, and I appreciate the backfill of information. So there isn't anything, they could apply for a grant, but they wouldn't necessarily be ready because the first thing they'd have to do is an assessment of the current building and whether it can be renovated to take out the
at an affordable cost,
or if they can demolish it, if the asbestos isn't the big issue, and if it is, they'd have to do proper removal of that. So I'm very good at playing devil's advocate back and forth.
Yeah,
so
no.
Does that mean that it is? Is it premature, do you think, for 2021, but more for 2022 because they don't have that assessment done? I don't know the timeline.
I'm wondering, based upon dealing with 3 years there, if they don't. Well, I know when Deb Childress and I walked through the building together, the old part of it related to corrective, they talked about nobody knows how much it would cost to get this assessment done. And they haven't spent the money. And so I'm wondering if their concern about that is how much it would cost to do a really
complete assessment, which is part of what I need to talk to. We're now at the point to talk to Nate. But no, they haven't asked him for a dime. We know Amos is going to want money from us, and I'm not sure we can do anything more than maybe rent some apartments, similar to what ended up happening to the transitional, or to the crisis center.
Right.
Okay. So then, and the chamber right now, they don't have it well developed enough. They're hoping that it will be self-funding. All right. So they haven't asked yet because they're still pulling it together. And that's just what I'm aware of out there. So you're right. Okay. As far as I, for me, it's more, I think things are going to pop either by June of this year or early, or by the end of the year. And I just want to make sure, I would prefer to, for us to know that there was some money there, as opposed to the rec center comes in and asks for $200,000 or whatever. I mean, when you go there, we know from you, a previous one, MICA, may not make it through the year, right? Or are they now?
They're okay for now.
For now, yeah. But so yeah. Maybe is there a MICA request still coming from us, to us, et cetera. Just all I'm doing is I'm being proactive.
Right.
Okay.
No, I appreciate that. That's why I was asking the questions of,
sure.
If they're going to have to clean it, one, do an assessment for that particular location and clean it all out, I'm just trying to think, well, what's that time frame to potentially
be? Part of what I just talked to Nate about.
Right. So does it make sense to have it in 2021 or even a placeholder, or is it more of a 2022? Or is it, okay, nothing's really going to happen until, I got to think of my, right now, or is nothing going to happen until calendar year 2021?
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
There's just that unknown there. And then you're right. We don't know if Amos or someone else might come for. I mean, I wish you had that crystal ball and just knew more definitively where things are at. And unfortunately, we don't have that.
I think if something came to us, there was a good proposal that needed some help from the county, I think we could find the money. But what you're talking about right now, this is all kind of a lot of exciting potential,
mm-hmm.
but it's way down the road, is my feeling about it.
I think there is some down the road. Like I said, whether we put even a little placeholder, I don't feel comfortable doing the whole $150,000
mm-hmm.
just because it's just too much of an unknown. I think that would just be a concern for me.
I would say, Ken, you're asking for economic development and put that in placeholder for housing.
It's a start. It's a compromise.
I would prioritize housing, affordable housing, over additional money for economic development, particularly because when you move back starting in 2017, adding 15,000 in, then and adding another 10,000 is a lot, a considerable increase. Now, I'm not discounting anybody's efforts or the goodwill of the, you know, the chamber when I'm saying that. I'm just saying housing seems to be, I would prioritize.
So are you saying, just so I'm clear, Linda, that under the economic development, instead of 47.5, you're looking at keeping that at 42.5?
Both of those
at 42.5 and putting the 10,000 into the housing grant?
Yes.
You're getting around 150 in the current year, but putting 10 in next year.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you just said.
Getting rid of the 150 next year, but putting 10 in this year. No, 150 in the current year, re-estimation, put 10 in next year
mm-hmm.
for amount. Okay.
Yes, I'll take the compromise, thanks.
Okay, so this will be your 21 is where you're putting the 10 in.
Yeah.
I know
okay.
It doesn't seem like much, but it's a placeholder, and if something comes to us for more, maybe we can look at more.
Sure.
It gives you the placeholder.
Thank you.
Paul Tumas.
two problems with one. There are two questions with one.
One discussion. It's 9:45.
Was there anything else that we still have, or have we gotten through it all? Lisa?
Yeah, I'd like to take that final look before we get the final thing on position.
Sandra, any loose ends for you?
Not really, but I was just thinking about for the future, do you want to design some type of a form that could capture the questions that we have about positions so that we're comparing apples to apples and look at those and asking the types of questions we want departments to be thinking about when they put forward a request.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great. Thank you.
The other thing, too, is I kind of talked with Lisa Markley after this because you were not at that meeting when Loris and I did the asset percentage proposal.
Yeah.
And that one, I mean, they need it before we start doing the budgetary talks. And one thing I said to Lisa is I think next year what we'd like to have is a what would be if we increased by 1% or 2%, you know, a better spreadsheet so we know ahead of time what we're kind of looking at. We just kind of look at the averages. You know, that we had been in previous years and made some determinations based on that. It's a little bit harder because they need it earlier, so it's kind of hard to figure out where it fits in when you're wanting to do the full discussion here. It's kind of hard to say, yes, we'll give you 5% and then come here and then say, okay, no, we're going to now give you 3%. You know, it's tough to do. And if there's a way we could somehow, you know, I don't know, graph it out, just something a little bit better.
What was it the year before?
We did, I think, 5% the year before, didn't we?
We were right in line on it and stuff. But I'm just saying is because we have to do it before we do our budgetary meetings, it just makes it hard when you, and also we kind of did it without a specific, what would that increase actually be for sure. I mean, we kind of in our minds kind of mentally calculated it. I'd like it next year as we're kind of re-looking at that for us to actually have.
So, and I think that's a great idea. And actually, the previous 3 years we have had it met something similar to that. And that's a timing thing, too, with a new director of external operations coming in, because that would normally be something next year that you would do. And you could go back and look at the agenda packets for, yes, assets from the previous years and see, because we've had something that has been more of a trend prediction. It's been kind of about, well, here it is so much and whatever. But let's face it, we've had a lot of changes going on, you know, during the time when normally that would have just kind of just fit into everything.
Well, and I will say, too, I reached out to the mayor of Ames, too, and said, you know, what are you looking at? And his response to me was, oh, that's going to be several weeks down the road, only to find out it was like the next day on their agenda.
So
we can finalize what positions for one, because we didn't make any.
Yeah. Thursday's not good.
I can do Tuesday afternoon. I can do Wednesday morning. Thursday. I'm free Thursday and I'm free Friday.
So given Tuesday being the 28th.
Oh, God, I'm looking at February, not January. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Monday the 27th.
Monday the 27th works for me.
It works for me.
Do you think you'd have it done next Monday?
Yeah.
I'm also free Wednesday, the 29th, or after our board meeting and before our assessors meeting on Tuesday. I'm open, so.
Tuesday after our board meeting until about 4 o'clock. I'm not booked, so that would work. Wednesday, so far I'm not booked for the morning or afternoon.
Yeah, I'm flexible that day, too.
So, yeah.
Same here.
Okay.
All right. So
what do
you want to try?
How about I look at what I think I can come up with, and I'll invite Earl.
Okay. Let's
do it at this
point
in time.
Excellent.
Okay.
That sounds good.
I don't know. It probably won't be Tuesday afternoon, only because I don't know that I want to tie up. I don't know that I want to assume a board meeting is going to be over at a certain time and get enough time to do everything. So if you're free Monday and Wednesday, it'll probably be Monday or Wednesday.
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah.